90% of the U.S. population live within 5 miles of a pharmacy. That's access. How do we take advantage of that access?
What is the future of health? Join Dr. Gautam Gulati and myself, Dr. Jordan Schlain, along with other occasional guest hosts as we embark on a conversational journey with prominent speakers, experts, and innovators from the stages of the annual health conference. The goal is to explore the ideas that put humanity at the front and center of our evolving healthcare system. After all, health is about people, isn't it? Hi, I'm Dr. Jordan Schlain. On today's episode, we bring you Nimesh Jhaveri, where we discuss the future of community pharmacies. Nimesh is president of Community Pharmacy and Health, as well as senior vice president of McKesson Corporation. In his role, Nimesh is responsible for, get ready for it, the community pharmacy and health business, which includes field sales and operations, the Health Mart franchise, the Health Mart Atlas, consumer packaged goods, development and innovation, marketing, independent and national accounts, and emerging pharmacy channels. Wow, that's a mouthful. Previously, Nimesh led healthcare services for the Walgreens company, where he spent 29 years in various leadership roles. Medications and pharmacies are a hot topic right now. So with that, let's begin the conversation.
Welcome to the show, Nimesh.
Well, thank you, Gautam. Nice to be here.
So I was reading up on your background, and you clearly have a very significant experiences under your belt. And rather than me sort of list that off, I would love for you to basically share with the listeners in your own words, what's been your trajectory? What do you do and how did you get to where you are right now?
Thanks for asking. Well, I'll start with the fact that I'm first a pharmacist, still a licensed, a couple of states. I'm not sure you would want me to practice anymore, but I'm still a pharmacist. But I started at Walgreens in my second year of pharmacy school at Rutgers University. And I was on my way to med school, and they asked me to stay on and practice pharmacy and see if I like it. I can always defer med school. Well, here it is 40 years later or 30 years later, whatever the number is, and I'm still deferring med school. So
Never too late.
But
you can join this side.
Oh, for sure.
Although I'm not practicing anymore.
But. Exactly. You're just like me. We play one on TV
right
now. But no, I spent 29 and a half years at Walgreens from pharmacy practice to having all sorts of leadership positions. Right before I left, I oversaw all of healthcare services for Walgreens, and then had an opportunity to go to McKesson as president of their Health Mart franchise, which is about a 5,000 drugstore franchise. And then most recently, about a year ago, I took over as community pharmacy and health president for McKesson.
So this is why they've labeled you the champion. Was it the champion of pharmacy that I read in some description there?
What does that mean?
Well, I guess, what does it mean? But I mean, you seem to wear, there are many hats that McKesson as an organization wears in terms of what it's offering. Can you sort of unpack specifically what your role and mandate is as part of the division that you're in with McKesson?
Absolutely. So I oversee all of our services, our sales, and that support community pharmacies in general. So we have about 7,000 drugstores that we support nationwide, and from independents to small, medium chains. And we provide them with not only our core distribution, but also value-add services, clinical services, digital services. We will support them on their managed care contracts and things of that nature. So the idea here for my area is that we help the small independent drugstores as well as the small medium chain drugstores to really sustain, grow. We advocate for them. So we're on the Hill. We're at the state legislator. We're at the local legislator, advocating for not only scope of practice issues, but also for reimbursement and for scope of practice increases, things of that nature. So think of McKesson and my area as really the corporate entity for all of these drugstores nationwide that otherwise would not have it.
So you're really giving sort of group power behind some of these small independent pharmacies, which of course are getting bombarded from every angle in this marketplace, of course, with some behemoths like Amazon saying, you know, they're going to come in and sort of eat at their margins as their opportunity. And of course, the price pressures that are coming into place. So do you see, I mean, has this been fruitful in terms of some of your effort in supporting some of these smaller independent pharmacies? Or do you see that they're going to have to sort of, you know, reevaluate some of their strategy and maybe turn specialized or do some other support services as a part of their organizations?
Yeah, it's a great question. So both. there's about 19,000 independent drugstores nationwide, believe it or not. And they have stayed around 19 to 20,000 for the last 7-8 years, believe it or not. Because you hear the headlines, oh, small businesses are going away, small practices are going away, small pharmacies are going away. But that's not really all that true. All of these independents are playing a niche, and they are diversifying. They're diversifying into healthcare services. They're diversifying into specialty pharmacy. They're diversifying by offering different unique services, all matched with the practitioner that's at the counter. And I think that's the big difference. You mentioned Amazon. Amazon's a great company, and they're doing some fantastic things in healthcare. But what the independent pharmacies, as well as the chain pharmacies, have the advantage of is the practitioner, is the pharmacist. In most cases, they're PharmDs. So they have a vast amount of experience matching it up with great technology, and now you've created a great experience. And I think that's one of the reasons why all of these pharmacies are continuing to stay in business. You know, this COVID was a great example. Most of these independent drugstores, believe it or not, are in rural areas. They're in underserved areas. They're in socially vulnerable areas. The Health Mart pharmacy chain that I oversee is 60% of those stores are in underserved markets where there isn't a Walgreens or a CVS or another large chain. And so they're serving that purpose that otherwise access wouldn't be there for those people in the community.
So for so long, we've always emphasized this notion that healthcare is local. It's driven local. It's, you know, people consume it locally. They interact and engage with it locally. But now that we're starting to see the likes of the Amazons and Walmarts of the world that are basically shrinking delivery times for regular medications to same day and in certain circumstances within an hour, how does that impact, you know, some of that locally driven aspect that we all relied on for these small and independent pharmacies?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, we think of delivery as something brand new. I hate to say it that way. You know, all of a sudden COVID came along and delivery was the big deal. Well, most of these independent pharmacies have been doing delivery for 100 years. They've been delivering, you know, within an hour. You know, a prescription's called in or they need something and the pharmacist or a pharmacy technician is delivering the product to them in their home. So they have that trust already with patients and with consumers. And so in my opinion, I think they're leveraging that, right? Yes, the Amazons of the world can deliver within an hour, 2 hours. So can the independent pharmacies, and they've been doing that. But the one thing that they do deliver with it is, hey, if you want to speak to a pharmacist, I am here for you. I will come and see you if you need to.
And especially important in those rural communities where they may not have access to those types of providers or conversations.
Well, pharmacies are doing a lot more than they used to do. It used to just be pushing pills. Now you're getting to point of care.
We are doing point of care, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's expanding even beyond what we originally thought. You know, yes, you do vaccines. Yes, you do flu vaccines. But it's going beyond that. And we saw that happening.
Well, the pharmacist has always been an underutilized resource.
No question.
Oh, absolutely. I worked as a pharmacy tech. I remember the days of just counting pills. I've seen just changes, reimbursement, everything else now is changing. How is McKesson kind of adjusting with all of this?
Yeah, just like every other pharmacy, you know, reimbursement continues to be compressing the margins. And I think it's not pharmacy that's only being impacted. It's all parts of healthcare that's being impacted, whether it's a health system or a private physician's office. You know, our managed care division, it's called HealthMart Atlas. And so we represent about 7,000 pharmacies. We work with health plans and PBMs to negotiate and help negotiate the best contract that we can then present to the owners. Again, it's their ability to choose yes or no, but at least we have the ability to present the best contract that we can possibly present to them. I think where reimbursement is going is it's going to a performance-based model. So it's actually going in the favor of a clinician. If they can drive better outcomes through adherence rates, if they can drive better outcomes in terms of how patients stay on their medications, all of that translates to higher reimbursement. That's a good thing for healthcare. That's not a bad thing. Now, I will balance that by saying all practitioners should be reimbursed for the value that they drive. If they're getting reimbursed below what their costs are, well, then that's a problem. And that's what we're doing to help them.
I want to drill in a little bit to the population being served by HealthMart, because you are head of the HealthMart aspect of McKesson. We're starting to see, at least I've seen, maybe it's a sign of the times, but in the past 6 months or so, we saw announcements like Dollar General getting into the healthcare space and hiring the first, I don't know, chief medical officer. But you can imagine, I mean, the reason is because they're in a market, a rural area that is often overlooked and underserved. And I'm wondering, I mean, you guys have been in that space for a number of years now. So what is, you know, from the ethical standpoint, in terms of being able to offer services, does that local pharmacy now diversify to provide additional services? How does McKesson look at that in terms of serving beyond just the pharmacy aspects of care in those rural environments?
Yeah, no, we are. We're working with various companies, whether it's through partnerships or we're building it organically. But it's really making that pharmacy a healthcare destination more than anything, right? So you mentioned point of care testing or getting your A1C tested or your lipid panel done. You're seeing primary care practices now being co-located inside of a pharmacy, nurse practitioners there, telemedicine being offered. So all of those types of services are things that they are starting to do. And then they're also expanding on the pharmacy side, making sure that medication therapy management is in all of the stores.
And are those services or those that capability packaged up and served through McKesson? Are you providing them with that capability or is it something that they're doing on their own?
Yeah, no, many of them, we are doing that for them or giving them the platform to do it. In some cases, they're doing that on their own as well, based on what the community needs, right? Some of the pharmacies, I've been to stores in, you know, rural Alabama where they're taking care of long-term care facilities. They're taking care of assisted living. And that pharmacist is going and delivering those medications, giving the consultation, making sure that those patients are well. Those are things that an app can't deliver. Those are things that a large company like Amazon may not be able to deliver. And I think that's where the advantage comes in.
Yeah, because it really is brick and mortar then. And then you're staying close. You understand the community. Here at a conference like this, you know, what do you find inspiring here when you walk around?
I think the biggest inspiration for me, and I've been coming here since the inception of health, and this is one of probably three or four conferences that I will attend every year. I think the biggest inspiration is everybody's trying to do one thing, which is do what's right for healthcare, whether it's through technology, whether it's enabling a provider, whether it's bringing a new style of service into the marketplace. Everybody's pointed towards one thing, which is how do we improve care? And that doesn't mean replacing a practitioner, it means enabling a practitioner. And I think that's the one thing that excites me about this conference. It's not a digital conference, it is a healthcare conference. And that means bringing practitioners, technology, all together into a solution set.
So playing off that theme a little bit, improving care requires overcoming obstacles. What's currently in your path or in your way that's, you know, if you had sort of a crystal ball or a magic wand to be able to eliminate the obstacles, like what's currently in your way that you love to see go by the wayside that can help you get to where you need to be?
Regulatory hurdles. I think that's probably the biggest thing that is in the way of all practitioners, whether it's your physician, your nurse, NP, or a pharmacist. For pharmacists, believe it or not, you know, we're talking about all these great services, and I think close to 50% of all vaccinations for COVID-19 was administered by a pharmacy. Yet, they are not recognized under the Social Security Act as a provider. So they cannot bill under medical billing and things of that nature. They can't be reimbursed for certain services. And so I think something like that, where it is a hurdle that we can change as a country very, very quickly. Make them providers just like physicians and nurse practitioners so we can start to deliver care at the local level. You've probably heard the statistic that 90% of the U.S. population live within 5 miles of a pharmacy. That's access. How do we take advantage of that access? So I think regulatory hurdles are probably one of the biggest things.
For sure. And so, you know, I want to get to this a question that we ask all of our guest panelists, not to put you on the spot or to play any trick questions here, but just from your perspective as a pharmacist and pharmacist turned executive, in 5 words or less, how do you define health?
That's a great question. Very provocative question. Its ability to provide lasting care. That's healthcare.
Lasting care. I like that durability piece of it. How would you define healthcare versus health?
You know, health is a state of being, right? It's how you feel. Healthcare is when we can provide services that give you that state of being. That's the difference, right? One is a true service. The other one is how you feel. And if we can finally combine the two, I think we'd win.
That's a good answer, actually. I think
I like that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not a simple question, right? You can interpret it so many different ways, and it is always personal to the person who's getting, you know, receiving on the receiving end of healthcare.
Yeah. I'll tell you a cute story if I can, you know, and I still remember, I'll never forget this. When I was still a practicing pharmacist years and years ago, you know, I was in New Jersey when I was practicing, and we had just opened a new store, and I was there, and one of the patients walked in, and you can tell she wanted to talk about something. And she ended up talking to me about her son. And I'll just say Mrs. Jones for discussion purposes. And I said, Mrs. Jones, you know, what's going on? She says, you know, my son and his wife have been trying to have a baby for years, and they haven't been able to do that. You know, would you be able to talk to him and just find out, because he just doesn't want to talk about it? And I says, Mrs. Jones, no, more than happy to do that. Why don't you have him come in? And so, of course, a couple of weeks go by, he doesn't want to come in. I finally ended up calling him, and he did come in, and I had a private conversation. And it turned out that he was on a medication for OCD. It was an anaphrenil. Gautam, you should know this, right? Well, anaphrenil, one of the side effects is impotence. And I said, you know, has anybody ever talked to you about this? He says, no. I said, well, let me call your doc and talk to him or her and see what happens. So I did. We ended up changing the medication. And as the story goes, about a year later, Mrs. Jones came in with a plate of cookies. I'll never forget it. And I said, Mrs. Jones, is everything okay? And she said, I just want to let you know that my kids are expecting. And it was just a simple conversation. It was leveraging the information that I had, having a conversation with another clinician. And hopefully, you know, I haven't spoken to them since then, but hopefully they're having a great life. But that's healthcare. It's truly caring about someone and how they feel long in a long-lasting way.
I love that story, because in a traditional healthcare system, those elements get overlooked, right? They get bounced from one person to the next. You end up treating symptom over treatment or medication, the side effects of the treatments that you're prescribing. But there was this great article out, if you recall, a couple of years ago, Atul Gawande wrote, I think it was called Incrementalism of Health or Medicine or something like that. And he talks about this patient who, you know, in urban environments, it was just getting tossed around and bounced around from system to system to treat a migraine that he had suffered with for years. And he ended up moving to this rural environment. And over there, because they're just having consistent long-term conversation, that over time, they were able to determine actually what were the root causes of. And then now, you know, after 30 years of suffering, the migraines were gone. And so this notion, it's sort of related to this notion that I like to say is health is a story over time, not a point in time. And what I think some of these rural local outlets provide that oftentimes get overlooked when we talk about technology and other means is that these people are developing personal relationships with the people in their community who understands the story arc of people's lives. And I think that gets missed oftentimes, you know, when we start talking about more efficient systems and technologically driven systems and so forth.
Well, I think technology really can be used as an extender of that healthcare provider, the clinician, not a replacement, and just extend the services that can be offered and allow us to scale up in ways that we can help more people, but it doesn't take the place of.
Well, technology, I think, really keeps people who are already in the system, right? But if Mrs. Jones' son was never in the system, he never would have gone on to Amazon and pharmacy and ordered drugs, right? He has to be brought in, and that requires that local touch.
Well said. And that's exactly what it's about, right? You know, nowadays, there's a lot of smart people out there will figure out an algorithm that will be able to dispense the medication more accurately or prescribe a medication based on the diagnosis more accurately. But it's that human-to-human interaction that sometimes we forget. To me, that is healthcare, right? It is. I love the way Atul said it. It's the right way to say it, and it's the right way to think about it. Technology should be the enabler of the practitioner. And how do we do that in a seamless, effective way?
So that music sound might be our sign here. But as we come to a close, I do want to ask this last question. We don't know what we don't know. Is there something that you would like to share with us that you're working on, you're covering, that we did not cover in the conversation?
You know, we talked a lot about practitioners and technology coming together. We're actually building a platform with, and we'll probably be announcing it tomorrow, here in a partnership to build out those digital assets and create a marketplace for healthcare services that independent pharmacies can take advantage of. So we're really excited about it. We're going to do all we can to match up that practitioner with the technology and really create a new experience.
Well, Nimesh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. It's great meeting you and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, sir. Thanks for inviting me.
Hi again, it's me, Jordan Schlain. If you're still listening, I'm hoping it's because you enjoyed this conversation. I certainly did. It's super easy to get notified of future episodes. Simply subscribe to Health Matters, that's HLTH Matters, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to leave us a review. See you next time.